We're holding by the Mishnah on Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. Mishnah says, we'll get it for you afterwards. Okay, the Mishnah says, Ketzad Hu Oise, Mishnah Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. Oh, hello. So the Mishnah says, Ketzad Hu Oise. So how do you do Knisah exactly? So we said, Poshet Eses Oise Va Pach Yodai. We said he spreads out his finger, he puts his fingers over his palm. We described yesterday, he puts in his hand like this, he closes his fingers over his palm, and the flower is trapped in. Okay. Continues the Mishnah, Viba Shamna, if you put too much oil into the mincha is supposed to be, the mincha is supposed to have exactly a log of oil. We're going to have a machlokas later on in the Masechet that, now we know you're able to bring, most of the time you're able to bring a larger mincha. For many purposes, you're able to bring a larger mincha up to 60 esarim. We have a machlokas over there, whether when you have more esarim of flour, whether you have also more logim of oil. But be that as it may, the minimum amount of oil, that, or let's put it this way, when you have a mincha of one esarim, it has to have exactly one log of oil. So therefore, driba shamna, if you put in too much oil, or chisir shamna, or you put in too little oil, or chisir levoinasa, or you put in too little levoina, that's what we're going to see. Stola, then it's possible. So the oil we just said, you have to have a look. Levoina, okay, a look is a look. You know,
more or less than you thought.
So that's what we'll see in the Gemara. We'll see in the Gemara. And levoina, Rashi brings over here that levoina has to be a kohenus. We'll discuss that in the Gemara. Okay, Rashi also points out that, so why don't we mention, if you put too much levoina, that also we'll deal with in the Gemara. Okay, so the Gemara says, Kesi Dami Riba Shamba. What does that mean that you put too much oil? Amar of Eliezer, or of Elazar, really, is supposed to be, because the Amara, one second, the case would be that he set aside, to begin with, two logis, and actually, Rashi says, mix them into the mincha, which would mean, Rashi says, at this point in the discussion, we assume that if it was any less than two logim, if it was a log and a half, or a log and three quarters, or whatever, apparently it would be kosher. We'll revisit that soon, but wait. Yeah. Okay. So the question is, the loikmak is going to order for shemen dechulin v'shemen dechavata. Why does Rav Elazar have to explain the Mishnah as talking about specifically where he, to begin with, decided when he's bringing this mincha, he's going to put in more oil than he's going to be mepadesh more oil than he's supposed to, and put it in? Why doesn't he say, more simply, we're talking about, let's say you mixed in a little bit of chulin oil, or a little bit of oil that belonged to a different mincha, and say that that's what it means, riba shama. V'chitema, so you might answer, the reason why Rav Elazar doesn't do that is because Shemin Bechol and Shemin Bechavit are like Pasol. You might argue that Rav Elazar Taka says that those wouldn't make it possible. If you added in oil, a small amount of oil of Cholin, or a small amount of oil from another Mincha, it wouldn't necessarily possible, and therefore he's forced to say that you're talking about oil that was set aside for this Mincha itself, and you set aside too much. So we could say that Rav Elazar does not say the Mishnah is talking about a little bit of Cholin oil not mixed in, because in fact that wouldn't possible. The problem with that is, by that logic, if you're going to tell me that oil that doesn't belong together with this mincha, again, remember, when we talk about extra oil, you have to realize we're talking about two possibilities. Rav Elazar is saying extra oil means this oil was designated to go with this mincha, but it's more than it's supposed to be. It's two lugim instead of one. As opposed to the other way, we could say extra oil is extra oil that didn't belong to this mincha in the first place, that wasn't designated to go with this mincha. Right. There is a big difference. Well, that's what we're saying. Rav Elazar, one second. Rav Elazar is saying that the Mishnah is talking only about the first case. So why isn't he saying the second case? The Mishnah says Riva Shamna. And Rav Elazar is understanding, for reasons that we'll see soon, that Riva Shamna means that when he first brought this mincha, he brought with it too much oil. He brought with it two logim instead of one logim. Now, Rav Elazar, on the face of it, could have understood that we're talking about he brought one log with it, but then after that one log was mixed into the mincha, then some other oil from another source was mixed in. Rav Elazar is saying the Mishnah is not talking about that. Apparently, that sounds like it means it wouldn't pass for the mincha. However, Rav Zutra Bar Trovia asks, if you're going to tell me that oil from another source does not pass for the mincha, then you have to ask, Elameyasa, by that logic, Minchas Koite, the Pasol, Vashem, and Heichem Eshkachasla. Then how do you have a case? A minchas kote, we've learned before, does not have oil and does not have levoina in it. It's plain flour. And we know that putting oil in it actually makes it fossil. So the question is, if you're going to tell me that oil from another source doesn't pass the mincha, then how does oil pass the mincha kolta anyway? How would the scenario be? If you're telling me they mixed in oil that was designated along with the mincha, there is no oil designated in the mincha kolta because it's just flour. No, that's the question. Why would it be fossil? There's no oil that he designated to begin with together with the mincha. And if you're going to tell me that oil from cholin or oil from a different mincha got mixed into it, how much like fossil? You're telling me from the initial assumption in the Gemara is that doesn't pass. Apparently, it sounds like Rabbi Lazar is saying that doesn't pass a mincha. So how would a mincha kosher become fossil with oil in it? So therefore,
we're talking about a cake.
No, no, no. But the point is like this. The point is if we say that with any kind of mincha, the only oil that passes it, if there's extra of it, is extra oil that was designated together with the mincha, then by mincha's kota, that would be impossible. You can compare, because therefore, since by mincha's kota, obviously the only way for it to become possible is with oil from another source, therefore by regular mincha also, it should be able to become possible with oil from another source. So why is, because we should assume, unless we know otherwise, that they're the same. So therefore, the question is on Rabbi Lazar. Why is he forced to say that our Mishnah is talking specifically where he, to begin with, designated too much oil when he could have said that there was some oil in Poland or some, I didn't want to say it that way, fine. Okay. Rabbi Lazar. Okay. They're similar. Rabbi Lazar. So what would Rabbi Lazar answer to that? He would say, when I say that the Mishnah is talking about where he designated too much oil, where he designated too little of oil to go with the mincha, I don't mean that's the only case the Mishnah is talking about. I'm saying, needless to say, it actually does include all the cases. Needless to say, if oil from an outside source, from cholin or from another mincha, falls into a mincha, then it topples it even if it's only a small amount. You would think, if he could begin with set aside two lugim to go together with a mincha, where after all, each lug by itself would be suitable to go in the mincha, because you don't need any specific lug. As long as you have a lug of oil that's then placed in a sishari and mixed with a mincha, then it's fine. So you would think, each one by itself is suitable to go in the mincha. So therefore, in other words, it shouldn't pass over the mincha. Even if it's two logim altogether, Kamash Malan, that is Rabbi Lazar's point, that that's the Mishnah means, even in that case, it will be possible. Now, because you could have thought that in that case it should be kosher, because this is oil that was originally designated with the mincha, and it was perfectly valid to put into the mincha if you put in only one more of it. If you take from something else and put it in, then it'll definitely be possible, right? Now, according to Rashi, it comes out, in all these cases, it will be possible even if you have less than two lugs. As long as you have more than one lug, then you have a problem. The Rambam does not learn like that. The Rambam learns that the Gemara is saying that as long as you have, so it's true, if you have oil from an external source, from cholin or from another mincha that gets mixed in, there's even a small amount of popular. But if you have, to begin with, you set aside more oil than necessary, it will only make it possible if you have two full lugs. According to the Rambam, if you were to do a lug and a half, or a lug and three quarters, or whatever, then it wouldn't be a problem.
Only two
would make it possible.
Fine, okay.
That's how he says. According to Rashi, Shnei Lugin means anything more than one lug, and according to the Rambam, it means actually two lugs. Two different ones, right. One from one source and one from a different source from another mincha for sure will make it possible. Right. We're talking about designated with the mincha, right.
Two lugim, you need two different ones? Two different oils?
Yes.
Okay.
So the question is, umanole Rabbi Lazar, new tackle, where does Rabbi Lazar get that from? Maybe the Mishnah is only talking about oil of cholin and oil of another mincha. Maybe the Mishnah does not have a problem with if you designate to begin with two lugim to go with this one mincha. So Rava says the reason why Rabbi Lazar was forced to say that is because he had a problem with the wording of the Mishnah. My ear to Tommy Reba Shamna. Why does the Mishnah have to use the expression that he increased its oil? Listen, Reba Lashana, let us just say that he put in too much oil. shannah. It's oil implies oil that actually pertained to this mincha that he set aside to go with this mincha, lishma. And nevertheless, ela hakamash malon, and that is the point of the Mishnah, de'afagav dehikris l'shmei lugim, even if he designated two lugim, that full two lugim, or according to Rashi, even less than two lugim, but more than one, will make it thoughtful. Whereas, again, when it comes to oil of cholin, or oil of truma, which are bechlau, not truma, oil of another mincha, which bechlau are not shamnah, it's bechlau not oil that pertains to this mincha, then even a small amount of it, according to everybody, is enough to make it thoughtful. And that's the point. Because shamnam is oil. Then we said chiser levoina. So next we said in the Mishnah that if you put in too little levoina, how much is too little? Sananamana, we learn in Ramsa. Chaser of v'omda al kodesh echad. If the levoina, if some of it goes missing, and all you have left is one kodesh, one piece of levoina. Levoina is a sap from a certain kind of tree. So it comes when you get it from the tree, it hardens into these granules, like they harden into these like little pebbles or little raisin sized pieces or whatever. Yeah. So if you have the levoina mostly goes missing and all you have left is one kodesh, one piece, one flake, sula, then the mincha is possible. Al shnei krotin shena. But if you have at least two pieces of levoina left, then it's kosher. Give me Rabbi Yehuda. That's how Rabbi Yehuda. Rav Shimon, I'll put it at Echad Kshera, me talk with Mekam Stola. Rav Shimon says, no, all you need is one piece of Levoina. If you have no Levoina at all, that is possible, but as long as you have one piece, you're good. So it's a good question, actually, whether, I mean, on the face of it, pieces can be divided and divided as small as you want them. Actually, the Chazon Ish wants to say that according to Rav Yehuda, and maybe according to Rav Shimon as well, you look at the pieces as they were at the time when the mincha was brought, or maybe at the time when the kinitza is taken, I don't remember. I think at the time when the mincha is brought. After that, you can't say that some of it got lost, but fine, we have one piece left, we'll break it into two pieces, and it's good according to Rav Yehuda, that wouldn't work. It's a sap from a tree that hardens into granules. But yeah, it's like anything else in the world. It can be broken if you apply pressure in the right way. Yeah. It's a sap of a tree. Sap of a tree. Like, yeah. Okay. Okay. Well, it hardens into. Okay, so the question is, but we have another braisa that says that if the koimetz of levoina are missing anything, then they're possible. Now, according to Rashi, the question is, now we have, and it's printed in the Gemara in front of us, we have Rav Shimon Omer. Rashi does not have that girsa, and the girsa tazevach and the shikim ukebetis also take it out, and Rashi explains, what are we asking? We're asking that, apparently, the Gemara knew that this braisa is according to Rav Shimon, even though it didn't say so explicitly. So then the question is, we just said, Rav Shimon says, even if you have only one grain of turdus left, of levoina left as kosher, and he was saying if any of it is missing, it's possible. According to the Chidushim on Yechasim Larashba, the verse is that it's not that the Braisa is necessarily according to Rav Shimon, but who is it like? We had Rav Shimon, we had Rav Yehuda, where Rav Yehuda says you need two pieces left, Rav Shimon says you need one piece left. We didn't have anybody yet saying that you have to have every piece of levoina that you have to begin with. So who would this braisa be like? Okay. Anyway, so the answer is Tony Kodas levoina shakosa kosher upasul. You're right. You have to change the wording of the braisa and say it doesn't mean the levoina as a whole. It means if you have one piece of levoina and now some of it is missing, then it becomes kosher because now you have less than the full piece that you had originally. So it would be a coincidence. The Iboy Sema, or another possibility to reconcile the two statements, is Kan Belavoina Habar in Hamincha, Kan Belavoina Habar B'Fnei Asma. One is talking about Levoina that comes with a Mincha, where, again, you have that even though, according to Rashi is saying, that as Rashi is saying, you have to have a claimant to begin with, as we'll see soon, but if, according to Rav Shimon, you only have one piece left, then it's kosher. So that was Rav Shimon's first statement. The second braisa that we said, koimus levoina shachosil, kosher fossil, is kan levoina habar b'knei asma. That is talking about levoina that a person is bringing as a korban on its own. We're going to learn towards the end of the masechta that a person is able to bring as an independent korban various things that usually would be brought only as part of another korban, or whatever. One of them being that a person can bring levoina by itself, and if so, there needs to be a koimus. And if so, then it's exactly like a mincha in the sense that just like with a mincha, we've been saying you have to have every bit of it, and if any of it spilled or whatever, then it becomes fossil. Similarly, when you bring to begin with a koinus of levina, then that has to be intact. Even Reb Shimon will agree with that. But here, where you're talking about with levina coming together with the mincha, then Reb Shimon will say as long as you have one piece less than you go, and Reb Yehuda will say two pieces. That's what we're going to see later. We're going to discuss. So I don't know. I mean, again, they come. It's sap that comes from a tree, sort of like maple syrup, but it's a different tree. As they harden into grain or raisin or whatever shape. Yeah, that's right. It's a piece of like the size and shape of a raisin or something, or maybe a little smaller than that. I don't know, but that's how they come. So then in that case, then you have, yeah. Everybody agrees. You have to have a koinus and you have to have no less. That's what we just said, because then you treat it like a mincha. Okay.
So they all agree.
That's what we're saying. So therefore, the second braisa that says that if any of the levona is missing, it's possible, that's talking about when a person is bringing levona by itself. Maybe. I got the impression from looking at pictures on Wikipedia that they were a little larger, but I don't know. I've never seen it. It could be. I don't know. I've never seen any frankincense in real life, so I don't know. Okay.
Right.
As you wish. All right. Anyway, let's go on. Come on. There's actually a three-way machloikas on this subject. How much levona you have to have with a mincha? Reb Meir holds, we haven't mentioned yet. Rashi says Reb Meir is the author of our Mishnah, the Stam Mishnah Reb Meir. And our Mishnah said chisto levoinasa, which implies if any amount of levona is missing as possible, that would be according to Reb Meir. So he would say, komets betchil of a komets betzos. He would say then you have to have a komets to begin with, and you have to have a komets at the end. If any part of levona is missing, not just the levona that comes by itself, but even the levona that comes with a mincha, then it would be possible. Rabbi Yehuda saw a komets betchil of shnei kros of betzos. Rabbi Yehuda would hold, sure, you have to have a komets at the beginning, but as long as at the end you have two pieces, then you're good. Any less than that, then it's possible. Reb Shimon would say that you need one komus at the beginning together with the mincha, but at the end, if most of it got lost and all you have left is one piece, then you're good. One piece, again, we've been discussing. One of these grains that you buy when you want to. I don't know, we've been discussing the last couple of minutes. I said already, I think they're like the size of a raisin. Aaron is under the impression that they're smaller, I don't know. Whatever, it's a standard size piece. You know? The komus of levona, would be a handful. A handful. Yes, that's how much you're supposed to bring. No. The Rambam, by the way, understands the Tachila and the Sof differently. The Rambam understands the Tachila and the Sof to be basically the Tachila versus the Diyeva. So the Rambam writes, it doesn't mean, we're not talking about how much of it got lost. We're talking about, like, a Tachila, when you bring a Mincha, you should have a Komet of Lavona sprinkled on top of it. The Dieved, if all you brought is, you pass things like Rabbi Yehuda, if the Dieved, you brought a Mincha with only two pieces of Lavona on it, then it's good. Onward, the Gemara says, Ushloshan Mikra Echad Gosh. Now, these three Tanoim, the mayor of Yehuda and Reb Shimon, where are they getting their various opinions from? Reb Meir that you have to have all of it, Reb Yehuda that you have to have two pieces, and Reb Shimon that you have to have one piece. They're all getting it, Ushloshan Mikra Echad Gosh. They're all darshaning from the same pasuk, which says that when you bring a mincha, the Kohen takes the koimet, and then the eighth kol halavoyna asher la mincha. And then the pasuk continues that the Kohen takes all the levoina that is on the mincha. So what do we mean, all the levoina? Reb Meir holds it means you need all of it in the sense ad the ikva levoina, the ikva of adim mincha meikra. Means you need all the levoina that was established as part of the mincha to begin with. We said before, we had a machloikas actually the other day, at what point the kviyus of a mincha takes place. Is it when you put it in the kli shareis, or is it when you take the kos of the kmitza? Either way, the point is, there comes a point in the life cycle of a mincha, when all of the components of it, all of the ingredients of it, are all kavua, they all belong together, and now there's no removing one and substituting another one. So therefore, so the mayor says, since you have to have a koimet of levoina at the beginning, and we're saying all three tanoim agree to that, So therefore, the mayor said, "Es kol alavina," means all the lavina that was there at the time when you, at the time when it was kavua, at the time when it became a mincha. The pasuk says, "Es kol alavina ashal mincha." So he says, "Es kol alavina ashal mincha" means all the lavina that was on it when it became a mincha, meaning when it became kavua as a mincha, which is either, as we said, either when it's first all placed in the kishare, or when they take the kmitza. Either way, at that point, all the lavona is there, the whole kaimus of lavona. Therefore, you have to have all the kaimus. It has to be there, and none of it has to be, and none of it can be missed. That's Rav Meir. Rav Yehuda Sava kol v'afil chad kol. Rav Yehuda says like this. The word kol doesn't always mean all. Sometimes the word kol can mean anything. So for example, Rashi gives an example. Ein l'shivchot in Akhtarah, Parshas Vayera, the story over there, the Ish Almana with the jar of oil. He says, Ein l'shivchot b'kol b'bayit. Your maidservant, meaning I, don't have anything in my house. Kol, no, kol is the same thing, with a kolam or with a kamet. No, it's just whether it's nismach or not, whether it's connected to the next word with a mach. Yeah, no, as far as lighting, it makes a difference. You have to pronounce it correctly. But as far as the meaning, it's the same thing. So she aims to cross for kill babayit. I don't have any. She doesn't say I don't have all in the house. I don't have anything in my house except for the jar of oil. So therefore, coal can mean any. So Rabbi Yehuda says coal by itself would mean any lavona. So that would be vasil of chad kodesh. That would mean even one piece. And then s lavabes kodesh after. Then when the pasuk says the s coal lavona, that's the s adds another one. So therefore, you need two. But Rabbi Shimon s lojavish. Rabbi Shimon says I don't doubt any s over there. Tosfos points out, sometimes Rav Shimon does darshan S, sometimes not. So he says, basically, I agree with you, Rav Yehuda, that kol means any, therefore one piece. I don't darshan the S in this context, and therefore I'm left with only one piece. As long as there's one piece there, then it's good. No, Rav Shimon basically holds like Rav Yehuda that kol means any, but he doesn't darshan the S, and that's where he gets only one piece. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay. Now this whole machloikas is only as far as the levoina that comes in the mincha. Aval, the levoina haba b'tnei asma, but like we said before, as far as levoina that a person is bringing out a korban by itself, divrei hakol kaimus b'chil of a kaimus b'sar. That is because before we mention it as a side thing, and in order to reconcile the b'raisis. Here, Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef is stating it as a fact. And so it's actually a fact. It's not just a teretz to use to answer it in brachos, but this is the actual halacha. Everybody would agree that you need kaimus b'tchil of a kaimus b'sod. And he says, "Lahochi itzrich asher alamincha." That is why the pasuk that we just quoted, "Eskol alabona," continues, "Asher alamincha." That is on the mincha. Now, why does it mean that? We know we're talking about a mincha. The reason is to imply that adding mincha ein. Only when it's with the mincha do you have these rules that we just said that it's the whole thing or two pieces or one piece according to the different tanaim. But if it's coming as an independent korban, then you don't have any of those rules. Then you need the entire levaya, just like any other korban that has to be completely intact.
So they only agree.
I'm levaya by itself. But Amar of Yitzchak by Yosef, Amar of Yochanan, and also, he was another one, that Yitzchak by Yosef says in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Machloikas v'Levona HaBa'ma Mincha. Again, the Machloikas is only as far as the Levona that comes together with the Mincha. Avav Levona HaBa'ma V'Zichin. But when it comes to Levona that comes in the two spoonfuls that are placed on the Shulchan, with the Lechon Afanim, and are burnt on Shabbos, then the Rehakol, Shnei Kumsin V'Chilo, Shnei Kumsin V'Soy. Then everybody agrees that you need two handfuls to begin with when they first put out the lechem upon him on one Shabbos. The Gemara says later on. With a minute. Now, technically, a koimus in and of itself doesn't have a specific size. Later on, the Gemara is going to tell us, I think, in the second parak, I think, that the minimum size of a koimus is two kazeitim. But it could be larger. A person could have a larger hand. The Gemara mentions in a couple of places, there's a Mishneh Kalim also, that mentions somebody in those times named Ben Bakiach, who had a fist the size of the average person's head. So therefore, of course, his kindness would be much larger. Well, it could be. You know what? That's why...
How do you hold an S?
I don't guess that problem. Still hold an S with his hand. Yeah, a bigger hand. Yes, so, big deal. I don't see where that's a problem. No, not necessarily. And probably you could have to skip it out. That's not a big deal. for that reason, by the way, you know, we say every day in Pitcher-Marx-Herder, we say that once every 60 or 70 years, you had half the leftover amount of Herder that was left over from every year when the Kohen took a double handful for Yom Kippur. And therefore, that year, they would prepare only a half-size batch of Herder. Why every 60 or 70 years? Why not a specific number of years? Because people can. They're different sizes. If you happen to have a string of Kohen and Golem or one Kohen Gadol for many years, or a small hand, then it would take, then you'd have more of the three monim that are left over every year, and therefore it would take fewer years to reach a half. If you have big hands, it would take it would take more years. 60 or 70 was the average amount of time. Yeah. Anyway, the point is that when it comes to the position, we're saying when it comes to the position, you definitely have to have, everybody would agree, you have to have two kumsim to begin with and two kumsim at the end. So you must have shitta. Well, isn't that obvious? Why would it be what? Because the bezichin are made, each one contains a kremis. Why would we say, and you have to have the bezichin are burnt on the mezeach? Why would we think that if you have, why would we think that if some of the, because of, why would we think that if what the answer is, ma'ud kremis, even the bahadi lechem asya, because you would think like this, because the bezichin come together with the lechem upon him, kasher ala mincha damya, you would think maybe in that sense, it's like the levoin on a mincha, which we've just established that according to the Yossi and according to the Shimon, you don't need all the levoin to be left, as long as you have one or two pieces, then you're good. You would think the same thing as your Kamash Malan. That is your Yitzchak by Yosef, Amar Rav Yechon, and Chiddush, that no, by the Lechem upon him, you definitely need all of it.
Okay. And he thinks it's more.
Because he had the Kabbalah. He had the Kabbalah. I guess that's how they do it. Or there's also, I mean, because when it comes to the mincha, the Torah doesn't specifically specify an amount of levoina. You have, we're saying over here that you're supposed to have a koymet, the Tosfos brings from later on in the Masechta where there's a limud for it, but again, even according to the Rambam's understanding, you don't even need that, but yeah, if you only brought two pieces, then you're yotze. So, as opposed to, when it comes to lechem aponim, it says specifically that you have to have bozichin, you have to have spoonfuls, and that implies the whole spoonful has to be complete.
But it says over there that you have to put
Lavoina in the spoons over there, and the implication is the spoons have to be full. Besides which also, clay shoddits in general have to be full in order for them to be attached. We learned about that in the Rambam. Alright, let's go on. Rav Ami and Rav Yitzchak Nachta have an argument about this last one. One of them says, as Rav Yochanan just said, that the machloikas of the three tanoim is with the levoina that comes with the mincha. Av the levoina haba with the asma, but with the levoina that comes by itself, divrei hakol kremis the chil of a kremis the first. Everybody would agree that you have a kremis at the beginning and a kremis at the end, which is what we were saying before. That levoina that comes by itself, and we said everybody agrees you need all of it. But Chad Omar, the other one between Rav Ami and Rav Yitzchak Nachta, says no. To machloikas mizu, kach machloikas mizu. The same machloikas that you have by levoina that comes together with a mincha, the same machloikas you have with levoina that comes by itself. He doesn't say what would be the din as far as the bezichin that comes with the lachem aponim, but at least as far as the levoina by itself, according to one of these two Amoraim, you have the Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon would also say you don't have to have all the levoina as long as you have one or two pieces of it, then you're good.
We're assuming then.
Yeah. Okay. Then we said chisul levoina chisul. We said in the Mishnah if you have two little levoina, then it's possible, implying ho yatir chera. The implication is, but if you have too much levoina, then it's kosher. But we learn in a braisa that if you have too much levoina on the mincha, it's also possible. So Rami Bachama says yes, but the case would be where he set aside two kumsim, two kumises of levoina. Then you have the same problem as we said before with the oil, where you have too much oil, you have twice as much oil as you should. Here you have twice as much levoina as you should. Here, by the way, Rashi brings two explanations. One of them is that the two kumsim is a case where it's possible because then you have too much. Well, actually, let's learn the rest of the Gemara, and then we'll talk about the other explanation of Rashi because we'll say it'll make more sense after we learn the rest of the Gemara. But here, Rashi seems to agree that you would need two full kumsim for it to be possible, as opposed to with the oil, where he said even less than two lugim is enough to pass it. But Amman consistently says that Lugim over there, two Kumsim over here. Rashi seems to be inconsistent, and one explanation, I think the Kedushim and the Pasim LaRashba says, the difference is, oil, you have a defined amount, you have a Lug. A Koymas, again, is not a specifically defined amount. Different people have different size Kumsim. Therefore, you can't really say that if you have a Koymas and a half, that it should be possible, because for somebody else, it would be a Koymas.
Okay.
Those hands come in different sizes, yeah. Okay. The Omer
Rami, say that a small
hand. Yeah, fine, let's go. The Omer Rami Bachama, also Rami Bachama says, here's another thing. Hifrish lo shnei kumsin, if you did set aside two kumsin for a mincha, which we said if you were to put them both on the mincha, it would make it possible. But the Ovad Echamehem, then one of them gets lost. Can you use the other one? So it depends. Kodim Kmitza, if it got lost before the Kmitza, then Loi Hukku, then it wasn't established as being part of the Mincha. Again, we said before that we had a Machlokas, whether the Kviyas happens when it's placed in the Kli Sharei, or when Kmitza is taken. Here we're going according to the opinion that it takes place when Kmitza is taken. So therefore, as long as you only have the one koymus of Levona on it at the time of the Mincha, and the other one got lost before that, then you're good. Then the Mincha is kosher. Acha Kmitza Hukku, but if you had the two kumsim of Levona on the Mincha at the time when the koymus was taken, then it was already kavua, and now the Mincha is possible because you had too much Levona on it as a set in our mission. Now Rashi brings another explanation, which is the other way around. That if you set aside two kumsim, then it would be kosher because, using a similar logic to what we said before about the oil, either one by itself is kosher to go on the mincha. As opposed to if you have them on the mincha at the time of the kmitza and then some of it got lost, then you have a problem because now you have chosu levoinasa. When you're a mayor, you have too little levoina on it because you had the amount of levoina that was on it at the time when you did the knitsa. Now some of it is missing. And the difference is, again, the reason why that wouldn't necessarily work with oil is because the oil gets mixed in with the mincha. The levoina is sprinkled on top. It's essentially a separate carbon that just happens to come along with the mincha. So therefore, even if you had it's a separate carbon. Because we said before, you can bring it by itself. But besides that, also the fact is it's not mixed with the mincha. It's not like the oil, which is mixed with the flour and becomes an integral part of it. Yeah, the levoina is an integral part in the sense that there was a clear. That's the point. According to the second explanation of Rashi, what we're saying is if the extra koymet was placed on the mincha, then you're okay because either koymes by itself is okay, because the koymes as a whole is sprinkled on the mincha. It's not actually embedded into the mincha such that you could say that the whole thing makes it possible, and either individual koymes of it by itself would have been good. As opposed to if you had those two kumsim on there, and then you took the koymes, and then some of it went missing, then you would have a problem, because now some of the levona is missing. So that's Rashi's second explanation. Okay. But Amar Rami Bar Chama, and also Rami Bachama discusses briefly about the pros and cons of the two explanations. Rashi brings the first one, and then on the second one he says Velo Shamaiti. He says the second explanation, he says I didn't hear this from my rabbi, which implies maybe that he came up with it on his own. Anyway, Tosfos has a problem with the first explanation. Tosfos prefers the second explanation. Okay, anyway. Alright. The Amar Rami Bachama. Also Rami Bachama says, here's another din in this connection. Hifish alba kumsin l'shnei bezikim. Suppose now, let's talk about a similar case with lechem afanim. Again, you're supposed to have one koymes of levoina in each spoon, which is placed on the shulchan. Now again, let's say, when it came to one Shabbos of lechem afanim, they set aside four kumsin and levoina that are meant to go into the two bezikim instead of two. Right. But all do shnayim mehem, and two of them got lost. So again, it depends when they got lost. So you end up with two, right? The same thing as the previous case with the two kumsin versus one, right? Because it's a similar way. So therefore, Kodim Silik Bazichin, if the two Kumsin got lost before the Bazichin are taken off the Shulchan, Loi Hukhu, then fine, the Bazichin are not yet Nikva as part of the Mincha, as part of the Lechem Hapanim. Therefore, according to Rashi's first explanation, it would be kosher, and according to the second one, it would be possible. La'acha Silik Bazichin, Hukhu, if it's after Silik Bazichin, then Hukhu, then if it got lost, then it was already kavua, and therefore you have a problem. You have too much levona. Or according to Rashi's second explanation, you're missing some of the levona that there shouldn't be there. So the question is, hot too lovely. Why does Rami Bar Chama have to mention that point again? Isn't that exactly the same point as by a regular mincha? I know how. Isn't it the same thing? The answer is it's not necessarily the same thing. Maori Toma, because you would think to say, given the borer koimasiga, because the difference is, when it comes to the lechem afanim, the levona is completely a separate entity. It's in the food. It's not even on top of the mincha, which is lechem afanim at all. It's in separate food. The mincha is at least placed on top of the mincha. Here it's a separate thing in the food. You would think, we're going to learn later on in the sefer, the machlokes, whether they're placed on the stack or next to them, but in either case, they're in a keli of their own. Kivin shigi is manal perka, so you would think once it's time to take the spoons off the table, as we learned the other day, commander krika danya, we should consider it as if they were already taken off, and therefore we should say it's already considered hukhu. Kamash malon, that is a chiddush, that no, here you have to have the spoons actually being removed from the shulchan for it to make a difference. Now, so of course the question is, why is that different than what we learned the other day, that Rabbi Lazar says that once it comes time to take them off, it's considered they're already taken off. So the Chiddushim, Amir Chassam, La Rashba says, fine, Rami Bar Chama disagrees with Rabbi Lazar. You have other Mephoshim who explain that no, Rami Bar Chama is not disagreeing with Rabbi Lazar. It's two different things, because over there we were talking about in connection with the Lechem Afanim break before or after the spoons are taken off the table. So we're talking about the Lechem Afanim itself being kosher or not. Here we're talking about extra levona in the Bazichin. If you were to say it's considered as if they were already taken off, then again you have too much levona that was there to begin with. The thing is going to be costly. There was a long discussion about this on the Rambam and Hilchos in Hilchos Maisak Rabbanis. But the difference is that over there we're talking about the bread itself being kosher or not. Here we're talking about the levona being kosher or not. And either way, you have a problem because you have too much or you have some of it missing, as we were saying. Okay. Mishnah says, the halacha is, so that's the thing. So the halacha is like what Rami Bar Chama just said over here, that if you have four cones in and two of them get lost, etc., then it depends whether it's before or after the civil position, before or after the position I take off the shulchan. Right. Okay. The next Mishnah is basically going to be almost identical. It's going to be almost identical to what we learned in Zvachim about Tigul. We learned in Zvachim about the concept that during one of the four avodas of a Kohen, if the person doing that avoda, it can be anybody for Shita, it has to be a Kohen for the other three, if he has in mind that there's going to be Achila or Haktara, either that a person is going to eat the parts of the korban that are edible, or burn on the mizbeach parts that are supposed to be burned, chutzlizmanai, outside of the time for the korban, then it becomes pigul, and a person eats them in a chayav korban. So we had a bunch of rules about that in Zvachim, and now we're going to repeat them in connection with the mincha. So the Mishnah says, a koimet is a mincha, if he takes the koimet from the mincha, or does any of the other three avodas, Lechol Shirei Abachos, where he has in mind to eat the Shirayim outside the Azorah, or Kazayis the Shirei Abachos, where he has in mind to eat Kazayis the Shirayim outside the Azorah, Lechol Kumsa Abachos, or Kazayis Kumsa Abachos, or he has in mind he's going to burn the entire Kermit or a Kazayis of it outside the Azorah, or Lechol Levinot Abachos, or he has in mind that he's going to burn the Levona outside of this Mikvah. All of those, possible, the Ein Bekoris, all of those, the Korban is possible, because the Machshava, possible of a Koimoi, but there's no Koris in it, as we learned extensively in Zvachim. Rashi summarizes it over here, how exactly we learn it, because you have, it mentions Koris only in connection with Chutzla's Mana, and we don't have Koris by Chutzla Makoimoi. So therefore, so it's an Isser. A person would be, if he actually burns it outside of this Mikvah, we learned at the end of Zvachim, we have Koris for that. For halal, b'chol. But just the machshava of it is enough to pass all the mincha. Anybody who eats from it is over on halal, but they won't be chayav karet. Because there's no karis in connection with chutz l'makayim. There's only karis in connection with the machshava chutz l'zman. On the other hand, lechol shirei l'machor kazayis m'shirei l'machor. If he has in mind to eat the shirayim or kazayis of them tomorrow, where mincha is kodesh kadoshim, you can only eat it for that day and that night. Or lahakir kumsa l'machor kazayis m'kumsa l'machor. He has in mind to burn the kumis or kazayis of it tomorrow. Or lahakir l'bona l'machor. He has in mind to burn the l'bona tomorrow. In all those cases, pigul. Hayav another karis. In all those cases, the mincha is pigul. And anybody who eats from the shirayim of it is chayav karis. If somebody eats from the koimis itself, by the way, we learned in Zvachim that if a person eats the matir itself, he's not chayav koris for pigul, and the koimis itself is the matir of the mincha. It's what makes the mincha, it's what makes the shirayim once it's burnt on the mizeach. The koimim can eat the shirayim, therefore a person is not chayav koris for eating it itself, but he would be chayav if he ate, if he would be chayav koris if he ate the shirayim of such a mincha that became pigul.
If he has a machshava solely on the levana, he is what?
So that's what we said. That's if he has in mind to burn the Levona tomorrow, then we said it's pigul. Now, well, what do you mean? If he has in mind to do it tomorrow, if he has in mind to do it tomorrow or any later day, we do well during one of the four avodas. We're actually going to discuss that later on, because when you get down to it, you need the Koimis and the Levona to be master of the Mincha. So therefore, you have this is a concept we talk about in Zvachim called Ein Mefaglin Machsi Master. You can't create pigul using only half the master. So we'll get to that. We'll get to that later on. I think we'll get to that. We'll get to that. I think in the next paragraph. Fine. That. Well, I'll continue the Mishnah. The general rule is like this: Kol Koimis are notes from the Kli Hamolach Hamaster. Anybody who does any of the four avodas, the Kmitza, the putting it in the Keli, the walking it over to in the Kli Shoreis, the walking it over to the Mizeach, and the burning it on the Mizeach, all those are the four essential avodas of Mincha. If he does any of those with a thought, lechol davash adakta lechol, where he has in mind to eat the parts of it that are normally eaten, or lahaktu davash adakta lahaktu, or to burn the parts that are normally burned, chutz l'makayim, he has in mind to do either of those things outside of the proper place, in this case, outside of the Agora, possible for envy chorus, the korban is possible, but there's no chorus to eating it, chutz manoi, but if he has in mind, chutz manoi, pigul v'chayom and chorus, and the korban is pigul, and a person is chayav chorus to eat. We talked about, I mentioned at the time when we started, when we were learning the beginning of pigul and zvachim, I mentioned an idea that Rav Shamshon Afal Hirsch says about it, is if a person has in mind a symbolic idea about it, is basically if a person is inside the Azara and he's thinking about chutz l'makayim, he's thinking about things, he's thinking about, like, so to speak, taking something of kodshin and taking it out of the zone of kedusha, okay, it's a bad thing, but you can't say that he's chayav koris for that. But if he says, I want to keep it in the zone of Kedusha, but I want to play around with the timing of it, I want to play around with the rules of it within the zone of Kedusha, that's what saying the Torah is saying, this pigul is completely off limits, it's completely repulsive to Hashem, and the person is kind of targeted for it. Playing within the zone of Kedusha itself. Right?
Meaning what?
Meaning, in other words, exactly like this. You have the korban is otherwise kosher, he intends to keep it inside of his mitzvah, but he wants to eat it. Instead of today, he wants to eat it tomorrow. He wants to tamper with Hashem's rules inside of his mitzvah itself. That's the idea. Okay. However, all of this is only provided as a matir, meaning the koimis and the levina, are all offered to mitzvah, according to the proper mitzvah, meaning there was no other soul involved. We talked about this in Zvachim as well. Kesad kor of a matir to mitzvah. What does it mean that the matir was offered to mitzvah, according to the proper mitzvah, meaning that everything was done properly except for the pigul thought? Means, komas the shtikah, suppose the Kohen did kmitza quietly, he didn't have in mind any machshava of chutzlus manoi, nothing but kli v'holach v'hikta chutzlus manoi, then he did one of the other three avodas with a thought of chutzlus manoi, that he's going to eat or burn the respective parts of the mincha chutzlus manoi, osha komas chutzlus manoi, or the other way around, he did the kmitza with a thought of chutzlus manoi, nothing but kli v'holach v'hikta v'shtikah, and then he did the other three avodas quietly, without any machshava, or he did all four avodas with a thought of chutz manoi. All of those, in all those cases, the matir was offered properly on the mizbeach. There was no other soul mixed in over there. Therefore, the korban is pigul. So that's the rule. For it to be pigul, there has to be no other soul involved.
Why do we have to say that the pigul applies when it's part of the mashava? And also when it's the full mashava,
we have to mention, you would think for example, that once he made it pigul in one avoda, then it doesn't matter what happens with the other avodah. That's what we're saying. No, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. On the other hand, case of like Kodava Masha Kamitzvah, say, what do you mean the Masha was not offered properly? Would mean like this, Kama Chutzla Mekoymo, suppose that he did the Kamitzvah with a thought of Chutzla Mekoymo, which makes the Kodan possible, then Nosen the Kli Baholach Levekhtir Chutzla Mekoymo, then when it comes to the other three avodas, he did one or more of them with a thought of Chutzla Mekoymo, which would make it pivotal, but it can't, because it's possible, and possible and pivotal don't mix. Or the other way around, he did the Kamitzah with a thought of Chutzah's Mane, which would make it pivotal if nothing else happens, but then he does the other Avodas with a thought of Chutzah Mekoymo, so that makes it possible, and that overrides the pivotal. Or you did all four Avodas with a thought of Chutzah Mekoymo, In those cases, the master was not offered kmitzvah. There was another soul mixed in over there, and once there's another soul mixed in over there, it's only possible, it's not pivotal. A person is not chayav kares for eating from such a mitzvah, just like he's not chayav kares in such a case for the carbon. Okay, continues the Mishnah. Yeah, continues the Mishnah. Minchas choyte or minchas knoz, she comes from shalai l'shman. What about, also, we learned in the first Mishnah of Arma Sechta, we said that most menachos, if the Kohen does them with a machshava of Shalom Lishman, it doesn't make them possible, it just means they don't count for the owner of the Kohen. What? Minchas Knoz is the Minchas Soita. I mean, the Minchas is the Soita brings. I mean, it's the Eifa of barley flour that she brings as part of the whole process. Yeah, just barley flour, right. And it's low-quality barley flour, too. It's not the high-quality stuff that they use for those, no, yeah. Well, no, it's actually flour. I mean, it is ground into flour, but it's not. You have, we're going to look, we've talked about before, and we'll talk about again later in the Masechta, that you have a high-quality flour, which is called solus, and low-quality powdery flour, which is called kemach. Most menachos are made out of solus, and in the case of the korban omer, in the korban omer, it's made out of barley flour, but it's high-quality barley flour. It's called geret. It's called geret, which is the barley equivalent of solus. On the other hand, the minchas knoz, the minchas besota, is plain flour, powdery barley flour, kemach.
Not fine, not
the good quality stuff, right? Okay. Fine. So the Mishnah continues. Now, we learned again at the beginning of the perek, we said that the minchas choyte and the mincha of the sota, those are the only ones we said that apostle, if he does them, shaloi l'shman. The other ones are a kosher, if they're shaloi l'shman, just they don't count for the owner's choyte. So therefore, over here, minchas choyte or minchas knoz should come from shaloi l'shman. If he does the kmitzah with a thought of shaloi l'shman, not from the kli v'holach lehikter chutzah z'manah, and then he does one of the other three avodas with a thought of chutzah z'manah, or the other way around, he does the kmitzah with chutzah z'manah and one or more of the other three avodas for shaloi l'shman, or he does all four avodas with a thought of shaloi l'shman. In all those cases, the matter was not offered kmitzvase according to his mitzvah. It's possible, it's not kikl. Right. As opposed to, again, with other menachos, that wouldn't be the case. If he did the kmitzah with a regular minchas nedava, for example, if he did it shaloi l'shma, and then he did the one or more of the other avodas with chutzah z'manah, it would be kikl because shaloi l'shma by minchas nedava doesn't make it possible. Right. Okay. Continues the Mishnah. So what about if the Kohen has in mind that he's going to eat a kezayis of the mincha outside and another kezayis tomorrow in the azara, or kezayis l'macha kezayis b'chutz, or the other way around, or kezayis tomorrow and another kezayis outside, or kachasizayis b'chutz kachasizayis l'macha. Or kachasizayis b'macha, kachasizayis b'chutz. In all those cases, also possible. In my chorus, in all those cases, it's possible, but there's no chorus because again, there's another stool involved. And in the case of the half kezayis, in the case of the two half kezayim, then anyway, the two half kezayim don't combine because one chutz was manoi and one chutz was mekoyim. Now, by the way, Rashi learns that up until this point in the Mishnah, we were talking about where he had one machshava in one avoda and then another machshava in a different avoda. From here on, when we start with this part of kezayis b'chutz, kezayis b'macha, we're talking about within one avoda itself. That within the kmitzah, for example, itself, he has in mind that he's going to eat kezayis b'chutz and kezayis b'macha. The difference is that first of all, we're going to have a machlokas where Rabbi Yehuda says it depends what order he had the machshavas in. But besides that, we also had a machlokas in Zvachim. We also had a machlokas in Zvachim on this point. If he has two machshavas within one avoda, do we say that one of them cancels out the other, or do we say that any one of them can cancel out the other one, or do we say that only the last machshavas choice motion rishon choice motion achron, you go from the first one or the last one and you ignore the other one regardless of the order? Again, that's going to the machlokas. So how exactly you learn? We had a machlokas involving Ilfa and Rav Yechanan over there. And Rav Yechanan says even in one avoda. Basically, they were arguing about when Rav Yehuda argues in the next part of the Mishnah about the case when you have two machshavas, which one overrides the other. Is it only if it's in separate avoda, or does he argue even within one avoda? That was the machlokas in Zvachim over there. Okay. Amar Rav Yehuda. So we had Rav Yehuda and we had Yochanan. Okay, Amar Rav Yehuda, that's wild. Rav Yehuda says the rule is as follows. It's not so simple as the Tanakhama said that any time there's another stool, then the korban cannot be people. It depends which machshava came first. In machshava says man, kodmal machshava says nothin. If the machshava of man, the one that makes the pigul, came first, pigul, b'chayavan al-karis, then it became pigul, and the fact that there's a later stool doesn't take away that pigul that already existed. So again, according to Ilfa, that would only be if it was across two different avodas, but not, Rabbi Yehuda would agree that not within one avoda. He would say, Irub machshavas havi, that's two machshavas mixed together, and therefore the korban is possible on that table. And Rabbi Yehuda would say that Rabbi Yehuda disagrees in that case also, even if it was within one avoda. Ilfa would say that Rabbi Yehuda would agree in that case. But if you had the machshava of makom, which makes it possible, came before the machshava of man, possible that in the chorus that it's possible and it doesn't become pigul afterwards, because once it's possible, it can't become pigul. But chachamim zev is possible that in the chorus, the chachamim say either way it's possible and there's no chorus. So now why do we have to repeat that if we said before that the chachamim say that? The Tosfos mentions that the reason would be in order to establish that halacha is like that. If we only had the chachamim before, and then we had Rabbi Yehuda, we might have thought that halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. But now that we stress the chachamim only, them is that possible, they make courage, that's meant to tell us that halacha is like them and not like Rabbi Yehuda. Otherwise, okay. So now we have a question as follows. Now we had a machlokas a few days ago. We had a machlokas Rav Yechanan and Mishlokish. So you had a complete mincha at the time of the kinsa. Then before you had a chance to burn the kumas on the mizbeach, some of the shirayim got lost. And we said Rav Yechanan said makter kumas aleihen. You do go ahead and offer the kumas on the mizbeach anyway. But the time along to open shirayim asur and basula. But we established over there that the shirayim are going to be also to eat. We still go ahead and burn the koymet, but we can't eat the shirayim. So the question would be, ma'u de tehani lohu haktara l'mitzve inu b'pigol ul v'lapkinu midemi il. Okay, ma'u de tehani lohu haktara. Would we say that in that case, if he burns the kohenim on the mizbeach, having in mind that he's going to eat these shirayim, would it make them pigul? Rashi understands that the question is like this. We said in the Mishnah that it has to be, in order for it to be pigul, it has to be that you're having in mind to eat the part that is supposed to be eaten. For example, in the case of an animal korban, it means he's having in mind to eat the meat, not the emurim. So the question would be over here. Since the shirayim are not allowed to be eaten, do we consider that jabba she'en darkei lechol, and therefore there's no pigul? Or do we say that it is after all jabba she'darkei lechol, because normally you would eat the shirayim. In this particular case, there's an isser on it, so you can't. But nevertheless, it is jabba she'darkei lechol, and therefore pigul would apply. So that's the question. Does that burning of the kohenim help l'mik be'inu b'pigul, to establish that this kohen is now pigul, and also... even though you can't eat the shiraim, and also v'lapkinum min de'ilva, and also to say that if he burns that koimet, then me'ila does not apply to the rest of the shiraim. Now we know, in a normal case, me'ila would not apply to the shiraim because the koinim are able to eat it. And once you have shach esher l'koinim, once you have a point when the koinim are allowed to eat it, then me'ila doesn't apply to it anymore. So again, the question will be over here. Here you're not able to eat the shiraim, so maybe therefore me'ila is still in effect on the shiraim, or maybe not, because the fact of the matter is you were master of the koinim. That's how Rashi understands the question. At the end of Yud Gimel Aleph, at the end of the parak over here, there's a thing printed together in Rashi's usual spot, a pirush on the sugya by Rav Meir, who is one of Rashi's sons-in-law, and Rav Shmuel, who is his son, who is the Rashbam. So they wrote their own pirush on this sugya over here, and it's printed over here after Rashi on the page. They explain that the question is different. The question is, we said in the Mishnah that a korban becomes pigul only if korav amaser kemitzvaso, only if the maser was offered on the mizeah without any other psul being involved. But here you have another psul being involved because part of the mincha is missing. So does that make it pigul or not? And then again, as far as me'ila, the question is that usually me'ila wouldn't apply after the koinus is offered, but over here would we say that it has the same effect or not? So Rav Huna answers like this: Asilu l'gavakiva the Omer drika me'elas l'yosei. Let's say like this. We have a machlokes of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva, which we're going to deal with later in the Masechta. I think we also dealt with it in Zvotin. If you have part of a korban was taken out of the Azora before the Zrika, then the Zrika is still affected to be able to take off the issue of Me'ilah. So we have machlokes. So suppose, for example, you have, let's say, for example, you have a chatas or an asham, where again, once the zrika is done, then Me'ilah does not apply to the meat of the chatas or the asham anymore, because at that point, the koinim are able to eat it. So let's say you took some of the meat of the chatas out of the azara before the zrika. Now, granted the koinim can't eat it, as soon as it was taken out of the azara, it becomes possible. Does the flying me'ilah change the question? Rabbi Yezza says yes, Rabbi Akiva says no.
The me'ilah depends on the zrika.
No, so that's the thing. Does the zrika help when the thing was taken outside of the azara? Rabbi Akiva says yes. So Omer Rav Huna, afilu Rabbi Akiva do amar zrika me'ilah tzeis. Even according to Rabbi Akiva, who says yes, it's true, of course, the meat is also to eat because it was yotzei, but nevertheless, the issur of me'ilah was taken off from it. However, says Rav Huna, Rabbi Akiva would say that only applies if it was actually taken out of the azara, the issur be'ene, where at least it's still intact. The psul is because of a side thing that was taken out of the azara. The meat itself is still intact. But when you have part of the mincha missing, the psul is a gufe, where then you have, it's actually a psul in the body of the mincha itself. We have the, as you said, some of the shiraim went missing. And you said the other day, that's similar to a baal mor.
Of the mincha
we're talking about. So therefore, loy mahani layachara. Therefore, says Rav Huna, even Rav Akiva would agree that the burning of the koinus of such a mincha does not take away the issue of me'ila. However, Amalei Rava Adram, he would say that when it comes to a korban, the zrika takes off the issue of me'ila by the meat that was taken out by the azara, because the meat is still intact. It's still in its original state. It's just in the wrong place. Here, part of the mincha is actually missing. It's like a balmor.
But it's not missing because there was mitzvah. If you consider the shiraim.
The shiraim, part of the shiraim, after the kmitzah was taken out, part of the shiraim got lost.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what we're saying. Okay. Omer Rava, how Omalei Rava, but Rava says to the Chista, no, on the contrary, Adarava. Afilu the Rava Liyazer, the Omer Ein Zrika Me'ela Siyotik. You should say the other way around. Even according to Rava Liyazer, who says that Zrika does not help when the korban was taken outside of the Azara, you could argue the other way around. Hanimili Yosef, the left of the skin. You could argue the other way around. Yoseh is more serious because it's not in the proper zone. It's not in the Beit HaMikdash at all. It's not in the Azara, rather, at all. Therefore, the Zrika inside the Azara can't help for it. Avachistorin, when it comes to part of the Mincha being missing, the Isay the same, where after all, the Mincha is, the rest of the Mincha, the rest of the Shirayim, are physically inside the Azara. Mahanyalai Hakkara, you should argue that even Rabbi Eliezer should say that Zrika helps for it. Now, so where do we get that Rabbi Eliezer would say that Bachot, that Yoseh is worse than Chaser? Amar Rav Menam in Allah. So Rav says, where do I get this concept from that I understand Rabbi Eliezer like that? It's not because we learned it's like this. We learned in our Mishnah, Hakoymet is a mincha lech or shirei abachot, or kizayit and shirei abachot. We said in the Mishnah at the beginning that if a person takes the kmitza, having in mind that he's going to eat the shirayim or kizayit of the shirayim outside the azara, then he said the korban is possible, but he's not chayav koris, so it's not kegel, so it's from a korban. Zetoni Rabchia, and we also have a brisa where Rabchia restated what it says in the Mishnah, but he just says Hakoymet is a mincha. Where he just says that he does the kmitza of the mincha, having in mind to eat it outside, v'loy toni oy kezayis. Rav Chiya's version of the Mishnah does not say the word oy kezayis. Not as far as pigle and not as far as school. My time v'loy toni oy kezayis. Now why would Rav Chiya take out the word oy kezayis in his version of the Mishnah, his version in his braita, which restates what it says in the Mishnah? Lav to going to foster Shirai and become a little Akazayim. Evidently, the case must be that we're talking about where most of the Shirayim are missing. All you have left is a Kazayim. And the person is saying, the Kohen is saying, I'm going to do one of the Avodah. Now, the Knitsa was already done. The Knitsa has to be done, the Mincha has to be whole. We know that for sure. Now after the Knitsa, most of the Shirayim went missing, and all you have left is a Kazayim. So now he's saying, I'm going to put it in the Kli Shorei, or do one of the other two Avodas, having in mind that I'm going to eat that remaining Kezayis of the Shirayim tomorrow. And we're saying, and Rav Chiya is saying, the Korban is possible, but not Pigul. And the point is, in other words, or rather, in the case where he has in mind to eat at L'mochar, we're saying the Korban will be Pigul. Now if you say that Shirayim Shechosru, it does not establish it in Pigel, then that wouldn't work. Then that wouldn't work. And Rafia should have used the word Oikazayas. Yeah. Now, my time of Loitani Oikazayas, why does Rafia not use the word Oikazayas? Lab to go into Chosri Shirai and become the Rakazayas must be a case, we're talking about a case, Rafia is coming to include a case where after the Kmitza, most of the Shirayim are missing, and all you have left is the Kazayas of the Shirayim. So since we see that Rav Chiya does not mention the words kezayis when it comes to placing in a keli, or when it comes to hiluch, or when it comes to aksara, the remaining three avodas, then we have to say oy kezayis ashirayim Since Rav Chiya does not have the words oy kezayis, kiven de mamasan kli behiluch of aktara lemasu, right? Since he does not mention the kezayis, since he does not mention having in mind that he's only a kezayis of the shirayim, and by hiluch and by aktara, he doesn't mention that concept. He would say that he would say that in that case, oy kezayis ashirayim b'kmitza ashirayim b'kmitza nami. So therefore, the oy kezayis also refers to the shirayim when it comes to the kmitza, nami, also, lechol shirayim, loitani oikazayis. So by kmitza also, he's not saying that he's going doing the kmitza having in mind to eat only a kazayis of it. Because when he says of pigul v'chayov and alakaris, and we're saying that in the sefer, we're saying that if he has in mind to eat to eat it, implying even if he only has left one kezayit, and he plans to eat it in the, and he plans to eat it in the Azara, but chutzon atayim, right? Pigul v'chayav and alatarit, alma mahan yolahu akhtara. So we see that the burning of the kezayit, the burning of the koymet is effective even though most of the shirayim are gone. So therefore, so Rava says that's what makes us therefore say, so that must make us say therefore that, when we were talking about Rabbi Eliezer and saying that Rabbi Eliezer would say that when part of the mincha is missing, as long as it's the tznim, then the kmitza would work for it. We get that, by the way, that Rabbi Chiya rewords the Mishnah and leaves out the word, or Kezayim. That even though you have most of it is missing, and all you have left is a kezayis of the shirayim, it had to be after the smitha, because before the smitha, it would for sure be possible. Nevertheless, we're saying, if he has in mind to eat that entire remaining kezayis, chutzos manah, then they'll be tiggled. Now that couldn't, so therefore that shows that even though, and he's not disagreeing in our Mishnah, if we assume that both the Mishnah and Rav Chiya are going according to everybody, then it means that Rabbi Eliezer has to agree. That even if most of the Shirayim are missing, you can still offer the Kermit, and granted, you can't eat the rest of the Shirayim, as we said before, but nevertheless, now Pigul can take place. If he had in mind doing one of the other three Avodas that he's going to eat it, Chutzos Manos, then it will be Pigul.
Because Rav Chiya doesn't mention the Oy Kezayis,
and therefore you must say that we're talking about only if Kezayis was left, right? Okay, so we'll continue tomorrow with the discussion.